Hey, there we are. So are we going to just keep the camera like focused back like that? Can you zoom it forward? Okay, because I'm pretty far back there. Good evening. Minty's eating everybody. That's why we got to get her up from her supper. Hi, Minty. Father, thank you so much for Grace Point. We welcome Grace Point and any friends or family that happen to be listening, Father. Now, Lord, I really want to teach the truth. I want to teach the Word of God. I ask you for your grace on me, that I can teach the Word of God without partiality, without opinion, without favoritism, that I just stick to the Word the best that I can, Father. Lord, grant us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Lord, open the eyes of our heart, I pray. Open the eyes of our understanding, Lord. And Lord, grant us a spirit of that revelation, Lord. Let us know the power that we got in Jesus and the things that you've given us in Christ. We thank you for it, Lord. I yield myself to the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe just a little, right? That's a good, a little tighter, just a little bit. If you can bring it in, just a skosh more. That's good right there. Well, I'll have to, when I walk toward it, that's okay. I'll know that I can only go so far. Let me test it for a second. Yeah, that's okay. I'll duck down when I come down. That's good. Yeah, I can do that. Okay. My favorite heckler's here tonight. All right, Father, that's great. Okay, so hey, if you have your Bibles, turn to Mark 11, 23 and 24. Probably start verse 20. And to get the context for my lesson tonight, and I do want to teach this like a lesson. I try to avoid preaching too much on Wednesday night. But you really need to listen to Sunday's sermon, which is on YouTube and it's on Facebook. You should know that if you're watching now. I also posted on our website. It's not posted yet, but it will be. You can listen to it on a podcast on iTunes or Podbean. So if you want to get the context, I preached like everything before it and everything after it, because I was setting up the topic of authority. And this whole text here, there is so much discussion, Charlie, about authority. And the point I was making Sunday is if we want to have authority, we have to operate under authority. And these are testing times right now in our country, which I'm not going to go too far down that path. You know, where's our responsibility to authority? And where does authority, how far is the authority, how far does it go, and how far doesn't it go? You know, for example, and I don't have all the answers on this. I'm praying into it. I'm meditating and praying into it. But for example, did the Jews have an obligation to get on those cattle cars and go to their death because the authorities told them to? I'm asking you out there in TV land, did the Jews have an obligation to get on the cattle cars? The authorities told them to. Did the Jews have the obligation to wear stars on their shoulder? I'm asking. I'm not even going to give you. I'm asking you to think about that. Did they have an obligation? Everybody thought they did. And there were so many laws passed, really benign laws, and I'm not equating our current laws to that. I'm just making a point, and I want to make it clear. Because sometimes there's an ambiguity, right? And sometimes there's not. I was reading today in 1 Peter again where Peter said, obey the ordinances, the laws of your land. It's pretty clear, right? And I talked earlier about how in Acts, Peter said, I got to obey God. And you know what I've settled on? And Larry, I truly mean, I'm still praying into it a lot. I got a couple of things I've settled on. One is we have freedom of conscience. Nobody can force you to do something that violates your conscience. They can force you to do it, but you're not under obligation to violate your conscience. You know, they could tell you something at work, like they told Daniel, don't pray, right? And Daniel prayed anyway. Well, he had to pay the price for it, right? He did. And that's the same thing Peter says. If you disobey, you know, then you have to be willing to pay the price for your disobedience. But Daniel chose to pray. because he didn't, his conscience was like, no, I'm going to pray. So there is an element of conscience. There are some things that are just very clear, and some things aren't. And I don't want to go too far down that, but the reason I bring this up is because authority is so important. Do mom and dad have authority over the kids? Well, if the government takes the authority away from you, you gonna let them? Does the government have the right to tell you what to teach your children? Let's say in the church, we love homosexual people, don't we? Don't we? We do. We care. We want them to come to our church. We want them to hear the gospel. We don't treat anybody wrong. You know, people disagree. But we believe biblically that homosexuality is a sin. If you go to the school system and they tell you, or the government tells you, that you can't teach your children that it's a sin, like they did in communist Russia, they would tell the parents what they could and could not teach their children. Are you under the obligation to be quiet because the government told you you're not allowed to teach that to your children? Think about it. It really is freedom of conscience. Well, that's one place I landed on, Charlie. It's freedom of conscience. We are not free to be rebellious. I ain't doing this, you know, bless God. That's rebellious. We're not free to be rebellious. The other thing I settled on is the law of love. The law of the kingdom of God is the law of love. And you're free to disagree with me. I respect the fact that some people may disagree. That's fine. I don't care. But the law of love governs the kingdom of God. I went to a dear person's house this week, you know, and they're very, very concerned about COVID-19. It would have been very unloving of me not to wear a mask into their house, not to social distance, because they're very concerned about it. Of course I wore a mask, you know. I wore a mask Sunday because I want to respect the fact that some people are very concerned about COVID, and I love those people. I don't want them to feel isolated, uncomfortable, or threatened. Now, me personally, you know, I don't feel the need to wear a mask. If I don't have to, I don't. But these are questions. It all boils down. These questions come down to, over and over again, about authority. Okay, and we have to pray into these things and pray through them. And sometimes there's not a readily apparent answer. But one thing we know, Sister Kendall, is all authority belongs to who? God. And he gave it to who? Jesus. Right? Right. And Jesus has deputized his body, right? The church, with his authority. We can operate in the authority of Jesus. So because all authority belongs to God, ultimately all questions of authority go back to God, don't they? Right? And that's why I say it's a matter of freedom of conscience, because, you know, I could tell my wife to do something unlawful. I have authority in my wife's life. I'm the head of our marriage relationship. That's, you know, as long as she lets me, I say that, you know. my wife's wonderful. But I am. I have authority there as the head of the house and everything. And we mostly submit to one another. That's how our relationship works. I know she's smarter than me for the most part, so we submit to one another. But I do have legitimate authority. But if I ask her to do something that was wrong, is she under obligation to obey me? No. No. That's why sometimes you got to pray into stuff and get the heart of Jesus. The heart of Jesus is love. It's not rebellion. And the heart of Jesus is freedom of conscience. I'll leave it there. So he has authorized the church to go preach the gospel in his name. And because he's authorized us, Charlie, he's given us power. Right? The word says he did. So I'm going to teach on that. And I set the whole thing up Sunday because we don't preach this in a vacuum. We're going to talk about faith. We're going to talk about authority. And we just don't preach this all in a vacuum. You know, authority and faith don't work in a vacuum. They work out of relationship. They work out of a prayer life. They work out of revelation. They work out of what the authority that God's put in your life and where you have authority and where you don't have authority. And these are things we have to pray and learn. So let's just go ahead and start without any further ado. Go back and listen to Sunday's sermon, please. But Mark 11, verse 20, it says, "In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. And Peter remembered, he said, hey, Jesus, look, Rabbi, the fig tree you cursed has withered. So we know from before that Jesus spoke to a fig tree, and the fig tree obeyed him, right? And does that surprise anybody? No, it's Jesus, right? Why would that surprise you? Jesus spoke to a fig tree. He had authority over the fig tree. He's the creator of the fig tree. All things were created by the Word. There was nothing made that wasn't made by the Word. The Word became flesh, and the Word was walking around on 2 feet, and the Word spoke to that fig tree and cursed the fig tree. And so Peter was amazed by it. Jesus, Larry, was amazing everybody. Everywhere he went, like, he doesn't teach like religious people. There's something different about him. He has authority. He does miracles, and he's loving. He's not critical. He's not judgmental. He's freeing. He loves people. He's forgiving. And there's something good about him. So he was amazing people. So it's not surprising that Jesus did it. But Jesus does this all the time. He upends our theology. And he's about ready to upend the theology or the understanding of his disciples. He's going to flip the tables on them. And he flipped the tables on his disciples over and over and over again. They would always push things on him. And you notice he always pushed things back to them. Like the example when they say, who do people say that you are? And they say, well, some say this, and John the Baptist, and some say you're Elijah, and some say, and Jesus always hones right down to the point, mentee, and he says, who do you say I am? And he's asking them, like the Pharisee came and said, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, well, what do you think? What do you think? There's a lot of wisdom in that, like asking someone, what do you think? People love their own opinion anyway. We know that. And he turns it back. Jesus is always interested in what you think. Read the Gospels. How many times did Jesus turn and say to somebody, what do you want me to do for you? I don't know where we got this God that doesn't do anything for us. When all through the scriptures, Jesus all the time said, what do you want me to do for you? Or someone was yelling, he said, they got his attention, he said, bring him here. And then other times people would come and he would tell them, be it to you according to what? Your faith. So we're always flipping it on Jesus, and it seems like he's flipping it back. And I'll tell you why Jesus is flipping it back is he knows who man is. He knows that man was created in the image of God. He knows that Adam was given dominion in the garden. He knows that Adam had authority and that he lost that authority and he lost that dominion. And Jesus is coming to restore that authority. He's coming to restore that original design. He's coming to restore original glory. He's bringing us back to the Father. He's bringing us back to sonship. It's a slow train coming, Charlie, for us to renew our minds to this, right? We've been so affected by the fall. He's bringing us back to a ring on our finger and a robe. He's the robe of righteousness. He's bringing us back to that original intention in creation, and he knows that, so he's always flipping it back. Jesus had respect for people. He wasn't a respecter of persons. He didn't care about how much money you had or your position, but he respected people. He didn't treat people with disrespect. If I treat you with disrespect, I am not acting like Jesus. That means regardless of your sins. Regardless of your sins. It is a lie against the Christian church to say, because we take a moral position against something, that we don't love people or honor people. I can tell you that taking heroin is a sin and that addiction is a sin and still have love you and have respect for you. In fact, if I love you, I'm going to tell you. Because is heroin hurting people? Of course. Well, any sin hurts people. And I can tell you it's a sin. If you sass your mama, you're putting a curse on yourself. Bible says God will give you long life and a good life if you obey your mom and dad. So I better tell you that so you can walk in that truth. It's the law of love. You can walk in that truth. If I don't tell you, I really don't love you. Now, you may disagree with me. You're free to. But I'm still going to honor you and respect you even though we disagree. It is a lie that you cannot disagree with somebody, you know, and still love each other. I'm going to say it. Here I go. I've got to get back to faith, Charlie. I feel like the Lord wants me to talk about some of these things. I believe that all races obviously are equal because we're all created in the image of God. I believe all lives matter, and I believe black lives matter. But I don't agree with the organization. I've said it before, Black Lives Matter. They're a Marxist organization. Do your research. They promote the disintegration of family. They promote the disintegration of our current culture. I cannot support them. I can respect and honor people, but I don't agree with them. I do agree that black lives matter. They matter a great deal. Jesus shed his blood for every black person in the world, African American, also white people, and red. But I don't agree with that organization. So we're allowed to disagree with something and we still love people. It is a lie. It's a part of political speech to try to force you into silence, force you into compliance, force you down a road that you may not want to go, to shame you into not being able to speak, because if you disagree, they label you a name, and no one wants to be called a name, do they? You want to be called a name, Larry? You old farmer? No, I'm just kidding, you're right. No one likes that, do they? No one likes to be called a name. No one likes to. Everybody wants to conform. Our desire to conform creates problems, or sometimes it creates rebellion. The opposite, then, we rebel, right? Are Christians rebellious? No, we're not. We're not supposed to be. We're supposed to rebel from the devil. Rebel. You want to rebel against something. Rebel against sickness. Rebel against sin. Rebel against demons. Rebel against hate. Rebel against unforgiveness. Rebel against cruelty. Rebel against slander and malice. Rebel against it. Hate it. Fight against it. Bible says hate evil. Rebel against evil. I'm rebelling against hatred tonight. I am rebelling against lying tonight. I am rebelling against slander. I am rebelling against sickness tonight. It's not part of God's original design. I'm rebelling against it. I hate it. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. Look at how many times he uses the word you. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in her heart, his heart, but she believes that what she says will happen, it will be done for him. How many times is the word you put there? And let me ask you another question. Did Jesus mean this? I want you to answer this, Bill. I want you to answer this. I want you to think about this. Did Jesus mean what he said? Well, did he? Okay. Then he says, therefore, because of this, I tell who? You. They flipped it on Jesus. He's flipping it back to them. Whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. We talked about this Sunday. And when you stand praying, if you hold a grudge against anyone or hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins also. It's not that the blood of Jesus hasn't wiped out your sins. It's just when you're walking in unforgiveness, you got that sin blocking you. Satan, that gives him a legal access into your life. Much like if you sleep with the girl with venereal disease, you can't claim healing. Right? You've given her access to give you that disease. Well, you give Satan access, you need to get the blood on it right? You need to repent and get it out because you got something now in your heart that's blocked. Where does faith come from? The heart, well, it comes from the Word of God, but it comes out of your heart, right? The Word goes into your heart. Well, we got to keep our heart free of bitterness and unforgiveness and all these things so our heart flows the way it's supposed to, right? If you get these, that's why, oh, Jesus. That's why, you know, like I was listening to a lot of podcasts and watching a lot of political pundits. I had to stop because I was getting my heart so full of what the stuff they were saying. And Charlie, some of it I agreed with, but I agreed with it too much, you know. Some of it, I was diverting my attention all the time. I'd even get up in the morning and scroll through my Instagram, and I was flooding my mind, so I was filling my heart with all the junk of the world, weighing myself down, and I was getting my eyes off of the prize. And it's not that a little bit of news isn't bad, and trying to figure out who to trust is a big deal. I don't trust most of them, me personally. You can, I don't. But freedom of conscience. But, you know, I had to get my mind clear from it. I had to get my mind free from it so I could focus in on what God was telling me. So I put my Instagram aside and I go into my prayer room, Charlie. I put my, you know, the YouTube news aside. I don't watch TV, but I put my YouTube news aside and I go read my Bible and I try to find out what God wants to tell me. He'll say, Brad, talk to your dentist about Jesus today. Brad, go talk to your neighbor. I still love him. Brad, he'll download, give this person this, and not bondage, love instructions. Give Charlie $20. What? I ain't doing that, Lord. I'm giving him $20. So he'll give me instructions. He'll guide me. But not only that, he'll reveal the word to me, and he'll get me flowing the way I should be. Why? Why am I talking about faith? Why? Because faith works out of the heart. You know, and the heart and the soul work together. You can believe in your heart and your soul can be doubting, and you know, you got to get all this stuff working together, don't you? You can't say out of your mouth, nothing ever works for me, but I believe in my heart. Can you? Nothing ever works for me, but I believe in. No, you don't. You don't believe in your heart. You wouldn't say it. I got a story to tell about that in a minute. Okay, so Jesus means what he says. The issue here is our hearts and not doubting in our hearts. The issue here, and this is what I say, there's a lot of grace in this bill. It's not like, hey, I can't just willy-nilly go out and start saying things. You know what I mean? I have to be in communion with Jesus in relationship. And even if I had something really serious, I don't know, Bill, you had a kidney replaced. I don't know how I would handle that. I really don't. I don't know if I'd be able just to receive a new kidney by faith. I hope I could, but I don't know. I'm in a relationship with the Lord. I'm going to go this way. Good, that's where the camera is. I'm in a relationship with the Lord, and I'm growing in that relationship, and I'm growing in my authority, and I have to keep that relationship, one where I'm growing and moving forward in the Lord, and I'm exercising faith, keeping my heart pure. I'm learning more about God. I know more about the Lord today than I did, hopefully, last week, right? That's what I'm saying. There's so much grace in this, Larry, because when a newborn baby comes into the kingdom, you just try to dump everything on them all at once, and you'll just drown them. That's why I was laughing about Tracy last week. I was making a joke about it because we got all this revelation and all this stuff you're pouring out. Sometimes you'll choke a newborn baby in the Lord, and she's been growing. She's not a newborn anymore. But the point is that you can just choke people when you try to put a bunch of meat on them. I do not like, Bill, when people try to force people to have faith, like they scold people, it doesn't work. Scolding people to have faith doesn't work. Or, you know, Jesus can rebuke you for your unbelief. That's sure, but that's true, but it just doesn't work. If faith works by love, then what I really would like to do is get people to walk in love. Because I know if you walk in love, your faith is going to work. My faith really works awesome, Charlie, when I'm walking in love. I witness more. If I can just get my love life right, don't even think about witnessing so much, Sandy, but get my heart right, get my love life right, and I just start flowing out and I start loving people. Next thing I know, I got words of knowledge. I have stuff. Charlie and I'll tell our, not a big deal, was it, Charlie, but we were at the park Tuesday, and there was a couple, there was four people over there, four or five, whatever it was. And I wanted to talk to them about Jesus, but I didn't know how to do it. I'm just like you. I'm like, I don't know how to do this. And I was praying. Well, good old Charlie came up. And if one can chase 1,000, two can chase 10,000. And Charlie said, well, I came down here to be with you, but I wanted to pray more. Well, thanks, Charlie. No, okay. No, okay. No, I was teasing. But if you love someone, you can tease a little bit. But anyway, so I said, good. I said, and I turned over to the couple, and I just felt I was feeling love for him, Charlie. And I said, hey, you guys need prayer? Because what I was saying, this guy here wants to pray for people. So I just dished it off on Charlie. And they said yes. How you like that? They said yes. And we prayed for him, and I had a word that wasn't right. I had a word I thought maybe someone had a certain they didn't. But as we were praying, and Charlie did prayed a great prayer for him, God did give me a word of knowledge for the boy. And I know they were Methodists, so they'd probably never seen anybody with a word of knowledge. I think the young man was kind of quizzical about it, you know. But we prayed for them, and we blessed them, didn't we? We had a good little fellowship. That stuff works by love. It works by love. But we were operating in what? But faith works by love, right? So we started operating in faith. We're hearing from God. We're praying prayers of faith. We're getting words of knowledge. Faith works by love. So if we're going to have a strong faith life, we have to have a strong love life. I believe if we take care of our love walk and then allow the Lord to bring revelation to our heart, we'll grow in faith. Do you know, and I'm going to get back here because there's a lot to teach here, but I'm not in a hurry. Are you in a hurry? Charlie said, not yet. Took me, I don't know how many years to learn this stuff. I'm going to teach it slow. Okay, in 2 Thessalonians 1:3, I like the King James better, but it says, we ought to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith groweth more and more. King James says, your faith groweth exceedingly. Your faith can increase. Your faith can grow. That tells you that we're not all there. We haven't arrived, that there's growth. But it is an aim of ours to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, to grow in authority, and to grow in faith. Sandy, does it come through relationship? Sandy has a great anointing because she's had experience. When she loses stuff, she prays, and the Lord shows her where it's at. Right? She's done it many times, right? Well, your faith has been grown in that area. You do it once or twice, and then three or four times, pretty soon you realize it works. And, you know, and so you just keep doing it, and you keep growing in it. So your faith can grow, and it is a condition of your heart. We concentrate on walking in forgiveness, walking in love, walking in the Lord. Our faith will definitely grow because it grows out of the soil of love, Larry, not out of scolding. I can't scold you. Not only that, Larry, I can't talk you into it. If you don't want to believe it, I can't talk you into it. All I can do is tell you what the Bible says. And hopefully I can demonstrate some of it. Hopefully I'm growing in it too. Okay, so he says, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received and it will be yours. So he's emphasizing, he is telling them, his disciples, he's training them and he's teaching them. He is telling them that if they speak to a mountain, and they do not doubt that they could command a mountain to be cast into the sea. Now, he's talking about a literal mountain, but I don't know anybody that's ever done that to a literal mountain. But there are a lot of mountains in our life. And this is a good symbol, I think, because you can have mountains of adversity in your life that you need to speak to. And I really do believe that's why Jesus used this term mountain. He meant literally, but it's also a great figurative lesson. Like, you know, the Bible talks about, I think, in Zechariah, about speaking grace to the mountain. What are you speaking to the mountain? I'm speaking grace to the mountain. These mountains are obstacles, hindrances, problems, dilemmas that get in our way. If anything is hindering the church, right, and it's of the devil, you better speak to it, right? Jesus gave you authority to speak to it. You got something trying to hinder the church, we need to get up and, you know, I won't talk about binding and loosing tonight, but we need to get up and speak against it, you know. Why? Because Jesus told you to. Not Brad Kittle. Jesus said, speak to the mountain. A lot of us want to talk to God about our mountains, right? We want to discuss it. That's okay. God wants fellowship. He wants to talk to you about the mountain. But when you're done, talking to God about the mountain, I believe he would look over the sapphire seals of heaven's gate and said, are you going to speak to the mountain? I can't speak to it for you. I gave you authority. You need to speak to it. Okay, Dad, I'll do it. Okay, Father, I'll do it. This ties into what I was saying earlier, okay, about how Jesus always flips it back. What do you believe? Where is your faith? What's in your heart? Who do you say I am? What do you want me to do for you? He's always flipping it back, and here he flips it back to them. You think I have great faith? If you spoke to the mountain, it would move. So when we have obstacles or mountains in our path or things that are blocking us, we can speak to those mountains, and if we do not doubt, Jesus says they'll move. Will they move, Larry? Jesus said they would. He not only said it here, he said it in other places. I'm going to flip over to one more scripture tonight. Get your heart right. Be in forgiveness. Walk in love. Do the love walk. Speak to the mountain. Then he kind of flips a little bit more and he gives us more information. He says, not only that, but whatever you desire, when you pray, believe that you have received it. And it will be yours. Now, this is a whole teaching in itself. It's speaking to the mountain and believing you receive. A lot of folks, when we pray, and this is something we really have to grow into because it's not natural. It is very much supernatural. A lot of times, we pray, and then, you know, like you say, well, did you receive your healing? Or did you receive your financial blessing? Or did you receive what you prayed for, right? Okay, let's take one everybody has no problem with. In the book of James, James says that if you go to God and you ask for wisdom, you got to ask in faith. He said if you don't ask in faith, if you're double-minded about it, you're like the wind that's being blown hither and yon, right? He said, let not that man think that he will receive anything from the Lord. Is that what James said? Or did Brad Kittle say that? James said that. Because you're going here and you're going there, you're bouncing. Folks, I have bounced and waffled so many times in my prayer life. Have you ever done that, Charlie? A few times. I've waffled. Our feelings, our emotions, and they get in the way. That's why I said you have to walk with the Lord to walk with the Lord. You operate in faith, you really got to walk with the Lord. You can't be yelling at your wife all the time and think you're going to exercise great faith. You're just not going to. Can't be lying and cheating all the time, cursing, and think you're going to exercise great faith. You're just not going to. You've got to walk with the Lord for these things to work. So in a close relationship. So he's saying, if you doubt, don't think you should receive anything for wisdom. So if you need wisdom for something, when you go to God, you have to believe that he exists, and he's an answerer. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him and say, God, I need wisdom. I don't know what to do about this situation. And believe that you receive it. Right, Larry? That's what he said. You can't go back later. What, did you get the wisdom that God promised you? Well, I hope I did. I sure hope I did. Are you hoping or are you believing? There's nothing wrong with hope. There's a time to be hopeful. I hope I don't have to wear a mask next week. I don't have much faith in it. Amen? I hope I don't, but I don't have much faith in it. Okay. No, you got to believe that you receive. Well, that's what Jesus is talking about here. He is saying when you pray for something, you're going to pray, if you need to pray for what God's will is, but sometimes you got to pray about it and say, Lord, I'm not sure what your will is. Should I marry this woman or not? Should I do this? Should I go to India or should I go to China? Sometimes you got to pray, and other times you just look at the word and say, oh, by his stripes I was healed. Okay. And then I gotta meditate. Lord, teach me more about this because I'm struggling. I still got the bumps on my arm. I'm still struggling. Help me. Where am I missing? You gotta press into it. Amen. You gotta dig into the word and find out what the word says. And sometimes even doing that, you know, I don't know. God said I need to marry a woman, not a man, right? Didn't he say that? Isn't that you gotta marry a woman? I'm not allowed to marry a man. That's what God says. Well, so I know I can't ask God if I can marry Bill. Number one, he's already married. Praise the Lord. Number one, he's already married. And number two, he's the wrong gender. So you know, I had to pray, and is Pam the right one? I actually kind of went out with two girls before I met Pam just a little bit, and the Lord said no. Well, how'd you know he said no? Because my spirit was so grieved, I couldn't do it. I was grieved in my spirit. When I met Pam, ding, 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 ding. Like, peace, 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 peace. Yes, 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 yes. Marry her, marry her, marry her. Wasn't rocket science, Charlie. How do I know if this is the right guy? If you don't have peace, run from him. If you don't love Jesus, run from him. That's for somebody out there. Get away from him. You need to have peace. God knows what he's doing. So when we're praying, when we ask God for something, we should not doubt. You go into the Word, you dig into the Word, and you spend time in prayer. It's very relational. And even when you know God's will sometimes, look, Peter walked on the water because Jesus said, come. Did he sink anyway? He did. He started, yeah, he was walking pretty good for a while. But what happened? When the winds came, was it God's will for him to walk on the water? Yeah, it was. It was God's will. Come. But when the winds came and all the circumstances and the contradicting things, you said walk, but now winds. Jesus, what's going on? You said to walk, and now there's wind. Now there's waves. Help, I'm sinking. Jesus is so graceful. He helps him, right? He says, why'd you doubt for? Why did you doubt? Because he took his eyes off Jesus. Took his eyes off the promise. Abraham had to wait, was it 25 years? I don't know. He got a promise, you're going to have a kid. He had no ability to have sex. He was dead, and Sarah's womb was dead. And God said, there wasn't Viagra, Charlie, back then. They didn't have Viagra. And God told Abraham, you're going to have a kid. We know the whole story. You know, it took him a while. It took him 25 years till he went out and married Hagar, and he, you know, this and that and all these things, trying to make the promise. He couldn't, and finally he just came to the place where he believed God, and God gave him the promise. He believed the Lord. Well, that's our battle too, isn't it? We God says one thing, and our flesh says one thing, and our mom says one thing, our doctor says another thing, our preacher says another thing, a theologian says another thing, and TV says another thing. What we really need to do is stick, what is God saying to me? If you're a believer, right? So I don't know what God's saying. Well, then pray for wisdom. I've known a lot of faith people. This is, I'm going to talk about grace, so no one's under, I don't want anybody under condemnation. I've known a lot of faith people. I'm talking about preachers and powerful people that's seen miracles, and they've received miracles, and they've seen miracles that have had knee replacement, okay? Faith, powerful people. I've known mighty faith people to die of cancer, okay? So don't get in condemnation like every person out there is just walking perfectly in this. We don't know why a lot of things happen. We don't always know what's going on or why this. We don't know, okay? I can't look at that person. I can't look at this. I have to look at God's word and grow in my relationship and get to know God and find out what the word and stand on that. Amen? And I know if I sink, I'm gonna walk on water. I talked to a guy today and yesterday that three times he had tried to walk on water. I think it's what he told me. You know him. He told me three times he tried to walk on water. Larry, he sunk every time. Said he had a friend that tried 100 times. I think that's true or not. We had a friend that tried 100 times. What am I saying? I'm going to keep believing God. I'm going to keep pressing out on the Word of God. I'm going to keep my relationship growing and keep stretching out. But I'm not going to let condemnation, defeat, and discouragement stop me from believing God. And I'm not going to look around at someone else's experience. I'm not going to look around at what someone else is going through and determine my ceiling from God based on what they went through. Number one, I don't know why it happened. I don't know their circumstance. I don't know the situation. I'm not their judge. I'm not there, you know, none of that. I am going to keep looking in the Word of God, and me and the Lord are going to keep working on this faith. Do you know Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith? Larry, it's not done in a vacuum. He's the author and finisher. He's working with you. You and Jesus are working on this thing together. Someone say amen. I could talk a lot about, I want to build your faith. I don't want to, I'm not trying to take your faith. The word works when you work the word is what I'm saying. When you focus on what God is telling you and you focus on what Jesus is telling you and you look at that and you stay committed to that. I want to go over one more scripture and then I'm going to end up for tonight. This is in Luke 17, verse 5. And I could read the whole context, but I won't. I want to show you that Jesus talked about this in more than one place. The apostles, Luke 17, 5, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Bill, you ever pray that prayer? I do. I have. Bible says your faith can increase. It can grow. It's something that can grow. He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will what? Who did he say this to? He said you. Is that the truth? I'm asking the audience, is that true or is it not true? It's true. It's true. And I, can, you know, I will be teaching more about the power of what we say, but this isn't like a magic potion where you say it 50 times and it becomes true. It's when you believe it and you say it. You got things in your life, Charlie, that need to be removed? You can speak to them. Mulberry tree, you can speak to it and make it move. A literal mulberry tree, amen. But you also have things in your life that you need to be removed. You can speak to those things, and they got to obey you. You have mountains in your life. You have obstacles. You have things getting in your way. You have situations. Speak to them. I just had the most amazing prayer answered. I was praying, and I just bringing a situation up before the Lord. Like it was like 2 days ago or yesterday, I don't remember. Got the answer today. And I just poured my heart out to God in relationship with God about something that just wasn't right. And I was praying. I was forgiving. I was forgiving. I was letting go. I was releasing debt. I was blessing my enemies, people that I was blessing where, you know, people might have cursed. I was blessing where people were against. And after I did that in prayer, in one day, God just turned the whole thing around. Just whoop, turned it all around, just like that, didn't he, Pam? You know about it. Just turned it around. I got on my knees and I prayed. I prayed to God and I spoke about some things and I released some things and I spoke things out of my heart with forgiveness, and in one day, everything just turned around. Doesn't always happen in one day, does it? But there was a lot of preparation work for me to get to that place where I could pray and really bless instead of curse, really choose to love instead of walk in disappointment or frustration and release it, and the Lord worked in it. We have more authority in the original glory in the image of God than we realize. We have more power, more authority, and no one walks in it perfect yet. But you should be growing in it, Larry. You shouldn't say, well, that's not for me. That's for Charlie. Or that's for, you know. No, you should be growing in it. Paul prayed this prayer. And we know the Ephesians prayer. At the end of that prayer he prayed in Ephesians, he said, I pray that the church would know the power that's available to them. To me, availability means it's there for you, but not necessarily. He prayed that they would know the power available. You know, hey, Sandy, I've got donuts available downstairs. Yeah, but I'm upstairs. The donuts are downstairs. Well, you better go get them because they're available. You stay upstairs, you're not going to get my donuts, right? You have donuts available. They're not yours. They're available. How do you make them yours? You go get them. You take them. You believe it. That's in the Bible, you believe it. You allow the Lord to reveal. You have power available to you that believe. Authority is released through praying, right? It is. Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain. He prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain for 3 years. 3.5 years. Then he prayed again, and it rained. He had to pray 7 times that last time. Did you know that? Remember, he saw the little cloud. And I think it was seven times. He just kept going down and praying some more. Then finally, the cloud came, and you better get ready because the rain's coming, right?
Then he outran a horse.
Then he outran a horse. Powerful. And comes by prayer, but it also comes by speaking when you have authority. Doesn't do you no good to speak if you don't have authority. Remember the lesson with Jackson. You know, I told Jackson to stand up. He knew I didn't have authority. He had looked back at his dad to see if his dad approved it. But I barked at him so loud he stood up anyway. Right? I almost said something about wives, but I'm not going to. Not my wife. So folks, dig into this stuff. It's real. Jesus said it was real. It's relational. It's dynamic, and it's something we can grow in. Amen? And again, before I pray, Larry, there's a lot of grace in it. We're not judging people. You just need to have faith, Larry. You know, Larry just had a tragedy, you know, in his life. Something horrible just happened to him. And I'm like, you just need to have faith, Larry. Toughen up. You know, no, that's not how it works. It's not how it works. We're gracious to one another. We pray for one another. We comfort one another. We walk with each other. We encourage one another. And every now and then you have a Charlie get up here and really, you know, stir us up, right? Exhort us to being bolder and being stronger. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. And Lord, I know this, Jesus. I've seen great things happen out of your word in my life. Really tremendous things. People get out of beds and walk around that were had strokes. And Lord, I've seen some less than spectacular things in my life. But Lord, we know that your word is the truth and we want to grow in it. And Lord, we need you to help us. We need you to teach us. We want to walk in it. We want to walk in our authority. We want our faith to increase. We want to believe for mighty things. We want to see more things. We want to see more miracles. We want to see more things in our life. And we want to press in, Lord. And also, God, as I begin to teach about faith, you know, faith begins where the will of God is known. So we're asking that we would understand the Word of God and we'd know that the Word of God would be revealed to us, but not just the Word of God, but we would be people that know the Spirit of God. When the Word of God and the Spirit of God would come together in a powerful force in our lives, we're asking very childlike, Lord, that you would do that for us that are listening on YouTube and us that are here and us at Grace Point. And I pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.